so much is happening. The power of the triangle is intense. Who knows what could happen? Maybe Diana's found her lost lover, but if she has, it might mean the triangle could take them both. They might end up dead. And together in the afterworld.
And welcome to Passions for Life, where your hosts, Natalie Z, Travis Schultz, and the Reverend Ben Hayes, pull back the curtain on your favorite show you always denied watching.
Passions. Oh, I jumped it down.
From Dayananda.
From Dayananda.
Yeah. Dayananda.
Dayananda.
God Passions bless you, my life. Children. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you. Yeah, and yes. Congratulations on your, what is it? Not sainthood, but...
My frocking?
Yes. Ugh. Yes, you're just, you're always...
I'll frock the shit out of you.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Oh, hey, you know, he kind of got a frocking. You got some publicity.
Oh. Oh, yes. Ooh. I was in the trades. My name was in the trades.
You got frocked in the trades.
That's right.
Yeah. Did I use that correctly?
You did. That's exactly how I say it. Ben, can you elaborate minister? A little bit?
Yeah,
on?
The show that I am currently on, Station 19, they did an episode that had to do with George Floyd and some current, very important social issues. And they wrote it up in the Hollywood Reporter. It was Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It's cool. And at the end of the episode, they did a title rag. Yeah. There was a title card at the end of the episode that had basically all of us who contributed to it, and my name was there, which is great.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's cool.
Well done.
I know. it's old fashioned and kind of silly, but being in the trades always feels really cool.
Yeah. I think it's my first time.
You popped your cherry.
I did. Yes, I did.
You popped your Hollywood Reporter cherry.
That's right. Congrats. Not very priestly That's behavior, really cool. but
Well, no. You know, you're a reverend. You're not a priest.
Fair enough. Reverends have secrets too,
and wives, and love children. Yes. Not that priests don't, but they can at least be public about it.
That's right.
Well, that's really cool.
This new pope, I'm telling you, he's changing things.
He really is. He really,
really turning back the clock.
Really is.
No. Go ahead. I can say you have something on your mind.
I do. I'm chomping at the bit to read. I have a letter that I would like to read. And wear my glasses.
Are you fucking serious?
No, I can do this without glasses. I can do it. I'm gonna refrain from saying this person's name, but I will say that this person was the senior vice president of daytime programs at NBC on August 6th, 2001.
That's really basically saying the person.
Well, nobody.
A very lovely person.
Very lovely person.
Very.
One of the few.
Still.
A lovely person.
And still working.
At NBC?
Oh, yeah. That guy. Oh, yeah, he's a long hauler.
Oh, okay.
Probably has something to do with your...
Maybe. All right. So it reads...
Success.
Dear Natalie, as you may know, the second annual NBC Soap Fan Fest is quickly approaching. This is an event that has been very effective for us as a means to increase awareness of the NBC daytime lineup with the press as well as with the fans of the show. We would like to thank you for your interest in this event. However, we will not require your participation this year. This is by no means a reflection of your commitment to the show. We recognize the effort that you each put forth on a daily basis and hope that we can reward that effort in the future. Please keep in mind, FanFest is an annual event, and those who are not able to participate this year will hopefully be able to participate in the future. NBC takes great pride in the success of both our daytime shows and the contribution that each actor makes to the final product that goes on air every day. We make a concerted effort every year to give each cast member an opportunity to travel and promote the show. While we would like to be able to include everyone in every event, difficult choices have to be made constantly, especially in the production of an event such as FanFest. If you have any questions or would like to express any concern, please do not hesitate to contact either this person's partner or myself. Sincerely, this person.
Did you contact them?
I did not. I did not. What the fuck was I going to say?
Thanks
for the letter.
Yeah, I know you didn't. But I mean, I love that. It's like, hey, you can always call up your boss and say, hey, Did this have to do with anything on my end that I'm not invited?
What? I was 26 years old. Why would I have the wherewithal to do that?
That's what I know. It's just funny. It's like, we don't want to invite you, but you can call us and talk about it.
So did you have fun at the FanFest?
I don't remember what FanFest that was.
Hmm. Well, what a luxury. What a privilege.
You know what you should have done, Natalie? You should have written back or called and said, sir, you disgust me.
Benjamin, yeah. I need your opinion about this.
Yeah, I think this letter, this whole thing is disgusting. It makes me really
sick. That's I was hoping for
you
that.
You know what? Hey, tough decisions have to be made.
Constantly.
No, that's not business. What it says. That's not what I'm talking about, Travis. I'm talking about the fact that you're taking something that people who are fans of the show, their love is pure, and it should be a gathering. And clearly this guy's, you know, he's basically given up the whole game. We're doing this to make more money.
Yep.
Bullshit.
It's capitalism at its worst.
And yeah, your numbers don't add up.
Well, no, my numbers,
the same thing.
My numbers definitely did not.
You didn't
add
have
up.
Enough likes.
I didn't have any likes. They intentionally wrote a shitty character that nobody cared about, so that they didn't have to pay for me to fly to Florida, where the fuck it was.
I liked you.
I know you did, baby.
I liked you a lot.
I know. Oh, here we go. Bones and comfort.
Love making with my dead lover.
No.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. I just thought, you know, it was time for another letter.
Thank you. It was time.
Mm-hmm. I have more. But that was an extra special letter.
That's a special one, Natalie. God.
So how are you guys?
So you know, you know, the NBC followed through.
They did follow
because now you got La Brea.
They gave me my own show.
They gave you your own show
22 years later. So they did promise they would make it up.
They
to me.
Did follow through.
All right.
So you can once again trust corporate
America.
America corporations.
They will always.
Their people
will always do right by you.
They'll always do right by you.
They were basically saying, "Wait for it.
Yes.
Wait for it." Yeah.
They were.
It always comes back to Hamilton here.
It always comes back to Hamilton. I apologize.
Yeah, it
I
does.
Know that it's polarizing, that Hamilton.
Yeah, hey guys.
Hey, Ben, sorry, we cut you off. Good to see you. You were going to ask us a question.
I was just asking, how are you guys settling in there over in Aussie land? Are you guys, is something like, is your neighborhood cool? Do you have a cool coffee shop, some hipster spots?
Oh, they love coffee here.
My intestines are still...
a shit show.
Gassy, but, you know.
I don't think that's what he was asking, but...
I know. No one wants to hear about that, Travis.
No.
Fuck, man. Come on.
No.
I got lots of gas.
Yeah, like talking through burps.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, ew. Yeah. That
it's not wonderful. It is far from wonderful. It's a cool little neighborhood.
Yeah, we're very happy.
We're across from I did 3 months of research.
3 months of research this guy did.
Yeah,
and 3 months. It paid off.
I went to the bakery the other day, got some great breakfast. Went to a cool restaurant down the road.
You know, there's no masks here, folks.
Yeah.
There's close talking is back, as are handshakes.
Oh, yeah. It's packed.
I'm a fan of all of it.
Packed stores.
I got to say.
Did you get a flat white?
I've had so many flat whites.
Really?
At work.
Oh, yeah.
They just say, would you like a flat white?
No, that's not how they say it.
I'm not ready. It's not perfected, and I'm not ready.
Natalie drove yesterday.
I did. I drove yesterday.
She drove.
I did great, according to my husband. And
yeah, we didn't get a...
we did. I mean, we're all still here.
We didn't get honked, yeah?
Yeah, we didn't get honked.
I the other day, I did a bad move. Turned right into traffic.
Yeah.
Oops.
It happened.
Baby did a bad thing.
Daddy did a bad thing. Had my priceless cargo too. Fortunately, there was a driveway. I just kind of flipped it and played it off like I was, pulling into my driveway.
That's good. You acted your way out of it.
Exactly. Acted my way out of it.
As long as you look cool doing it, like you know what you're doing, then it's all right.
No worries, mate.
No,
just
drama.
Parking my car in my car hoe.
I think Travis, Australia is going to sue you.
What?
The country. Why? A defamation.
Yeah. The country.
Yes.
Yeah. We already owe them money, so.
Oh, God. We owe them quarantine money.
They're going to make their money off of us.
They charge you for quarantine, guys.
They charge you for everything.
A lot.
Yeah.
But people just don't pay. It's like, oh.
Yeah. I know. That's so strange.
So that's how we're doing. So you're in the trades. We're doing well. I feel like, guys, we're on a real upswing. And we're in the perfect, perfect place to talk about the famous episode.
Hold your roll here. I had a dream, guys.
Uh-oh. Let's hear it.
I had a dream. I was at...
Is this going to be... Is this going to be the MLK?
I was at the JCPenney's.
So, no.
Fan event. Swear to God.
No.
Because I'm not making this up. I was at a Passions fan event.
At the JCPenney?
At a JCPenney.
And guess who wasn't there?
And guess who wasn't there? No, Natalie was there. And Kim was there.
Mm-mm.
And
I feel like this is going to get pornographic.
And Robert was there.
Kim's husband.
Mm-hmm. Kim's husband. And Kim was not talking to me.
Kim, who plays Ivy Crane on Passions, by the way.
And me being the person I want everybody to love me all the time. Mm-hmm. I want to be your friend. Held over from my middle child days. And I'm like, Kim, what's wrong? What have I done? And she's like, well, it's the pot. It's your podcast.
Oh God.
I don't like what you're saying.
Oh God.
And I'm like, oh my God. And my first reaction, I was like, oh. And then she kind of walked away and I was like, Robert, what's going on? He's like, Travis, I can't. And I honestly, I can't cast you and stuff because you've hurt her feelings. You're not being nice to people. You're making fun of people with this podcast. It's not okay.
Letter.
And I'm like, wait, but it's, and I kind of stumbled this like, but I'm not, it was 20 years ago. And he kind of walks away and I start to feel bad. And then I kind of took a step back and you kind of came up next to me. And I was like, grow up. It was 20 years ago. Mm. Who gives a shit? Mm. And it was like all of a sudden I was like, no, I'm an adult. Everybody's an adult here. You know, there's no malice. I'm just, you know, what is it? Can I
stop you for a
second?
hold on. First of all, stop. Listening to other people's dreams is hard.
Popping it off.
Number two.
Burning off.
This is the most literal dream.
I've never
known anyone to have such literal dreams.
It's literal dreams.
It's a literal dream. And
isn't that fucking crazy?
Number three, this podcast is a love letter to 2001 and 2002.
I know, but you're picking up my, I mean, obviously it's about my anxiety about this show and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. No. And it just was like, I woke up and I'm like, am I talking shit on my friends and my family? And I'm like, I'm
yes. The answer yes. is yes. yeah. And
I'm making fun of myself. And I don't know. I just, you know, again, it haunts me in the night. So.
Well, that reminds me. It reminds me of a dream that I had and I want to tell you about it.
All right.
I'm just kidding.
Thanks for hearing me.
If you want to torture me, make me listen to your dreams and take me to a playground.
JCPenney,
is a universally shared experience, though, that I learned not the hard way, but I figured it out once when I was like in my 20s. I was like, no one wants to hear my dream.
No.
Nobody wants to hear my dream.
Nobody wants to hear anybody.
But you guys.
But thank you. I'm interested in your dreams.
Well, you know, it was about the pod.
It was. Yeah. And it was
about my fears.
About your fears, which is a beautiful segue into the famous episode 655.
There we go. Here we are.
All about dreams and fears.
655.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. It's not about dreams and fears, but I just...
professional.
Trying to make something out of nothing. Caveat for the two gentlemen here and also the listeners out there. I was drunk when I watched this episode.
Oh.
Yes. We had gone out to dinner and we had celebrated
you
the first week of school.
Had gone out to dinner.
No.
Oh, this is, oh, yes. Yes. We had gone out to dinner.
And I had more than I anticipated. And so I don't know how much of this is going to make any sense, but I did write at the top of the page, I actually loved this episode.
Oh my God. Me too. Me too. I almost broke the microphone. I love this episode.
This is the first episode I've loved.
A cool episode.
In a year of doing this almost. Ben, I loved it.
Ben, where you at?
It was a good one.
All right.
No, he's not as enthusiastic.
So let's wrap it up. Bye.
Right, bye.
I think because it was more interesting, I don't have as much like the usual sort of low-hanging fruit complaints. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, so much cool shit.
I'm going to go get my glasses.
She can't read her notes, guys. What's that right there?
Those are sunglasses.
Your glasses are on your shirt.
Oh, my God. You see what I have to live with, man?
Poor you.
Thanks, man. Yeah, poor me. Found the glasses on my shirt. So much. Okay.
So much has happened. And funny enough, so much Kim.
So much Kim.
Nailing it.
Both of us have our first note says Kim. It doesn't say Ivy. It says Kim. So, yes, there's something to that.
She's finally in the wheelchair. In a lot of pain.
So, this is recap. This is an episode where...
We're not a recap show.
Never mind.
All right. So, go.
But you got to get some context.
We'll let it go.
No, I'm just trying to read my drunk writing.
So, okay, I will keep going. So, Sam is wheeling in Ivy because she had a spill, and she had a bad bout of pain, and she couldn't get to her meds. Sam was there to help her out, and they took her upstairs. They've installed an elevator in Crane Mansion, apparently.
She's in her wheelchair
and so he can she can get some rest and get her pain pills.
And this is the first time I think we as a collective trio have seen Ivy and Sam we've seen them in a moment that doesn't feel antagonistic,
right,
which was also like a nice breath of fresh air.
They're both gorgeous, and it's great seeing them together.
Yeah.
Because that was a coupling I always liked, because there was a natural thing there.
Right.
Kim also has a lot of hair in this.
Oh, she got so much hair all of a sudden.
So much hair, which I loved.
You love that stuff.
Yeah.
Just like you.
Mm-hmm.
I did notice when she was taking her pills, she drank the water. She used the water, like two hands, to drink the water for her pills. Which is always a weird thing to me.
Well, because she's on a soap opera.
Okay.
There you go. She's in pain.
Ah.
That's why.
The infamous in pain can only barely lift a water glass. that doesn't track for me, but anyway.
I didn't notice that. That's so funny.
Well, I noticed it because if you recall in recent history, there was a lot made of the former guy in charge. Remember when he had to use his little tiny hands to lift the water glass.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, so that's right.
Yeah. So I was
So now it's And so when she was doing it, it wasn't very noticeable, but now it is because of that.
Maybe I just never really noticed. But anyway, that's what I noticed. But the soundtrack, I did notice the soundtrack and the score, and it was very, they do this thing where they...
It was heavy.
Yeah, it's a heavy Twin Peaks vibe, which I loved.
Yeah.
I wrote here that Kim gets to do her Valley of the Dolls moment with the storyline.
Oh, fun.
Which she's so, she's so poised to do with that look, and just her vibe is so Valley of the Dolls, and she gets to pop the pills. And then I noticed... And then Grace's name comes up, and it's such a boner killer. Which I was like, oh god, why do we have to do this every time? I was enjoying this so much, and then one got sucked out of the scene
because of that very point.
Exactly.
Yeah It's like, oh, stop talking about that.
Yeah,
I have here in quotes, all you have to do is pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Is that a juggle anybody's memory?
I was drunk.
Juggle jiggle
Not ringing a bell. Didn't bump me or anything. So
I think maybe Sam said that to her. All you have to do is pick up the phone.
Yes. He was like, I'm here for you if you need to talk.
I joggled it.
Oh.
So this line is such a weird way to say, call me.
Mm-hmm.
Just call me.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is pick up the phone.
Winter, spring,
and then
summer or fall.
Right.
And then dial my number.
And then I'll answer.
And then it starts ringing. And then if the call goes through, I'm right there.
Yeah.
That's
all you have to do is pick up the phone.
Yeah. Instead of just say, call me if you need anything.
Call me if you need anything.
Yeah. Here are the pills that I'm questioning how many you're taking, but you're an adult person.
Right.
You live your life.
I'm still in love with you, but I got to get out of here.
Yeah,
because I'm trying to do the right thing.
My wife is my wife,
even though she's a boner killer.
Yeah,
I do have here, and I wrote this down thinking, oh, I'll remember. I have the journey of a soap character. think this was a thing that I was gonna elaborate on, and I don't know what it is, unfortunately. I think it was something like we finally get to see an Ivy, the result of an actual journey, mm-hmm. an arc, like what we were saying in the last episode, that there is a sort of an arc there, which is something that's not typical for this particular show, but it is such a trope in this genre. I'm assuming that's what that meant. Again, I was drunk. But I had some thoughts.
That's a sober thought.
Okay. In the midst
in
of
a
all
drunken
the, yeah, in
episode,
a drunken haze.
In a drunken haze. Mm-hmm. That's
it's just so soapy that she's like addicted to pills now, and she looks gorgeous, and she's on friendly terms with her ex, and it could accidentally leak into something more friendly. Yeah. It was just like, this is why people watch soaps. People don't watch soaps to every single week hear the same character say the same fucking thing and know that there's not going to be a resolution. That is not why people watch this
shit.
And
that's why people stop watching this
show. And that's why the ratings were the lowest of any soap on air. It seemed like a very obvious problem that had a very obvious solution. Go watch All My Children. Yeah. I don't know why I keep picking up All My Children, but go watch that and then just do what they're doing. It's not reinventing the wheel. Okay. Rant over. That's the Sam and Ivy stuff.
Yeah.
The juice of this episode, or the meat, if you will, is obviously
the juicy meat,
which was my nickname in college. So gross.
Why would you say that?
I'm sorry. I took it. It's the Bermuda stuff, the Bermuda Triangle of it all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, there is the Ethan and Gwen stuff, which is also juicy for different reasons.
We'll talk about that.
But
so Neo.
Yes. Yeah, so Neo AKA
is at
Teresa,
is at the Crane Mansion.
Wait, did we listen to this together? Wait, we
no.
both. I have. She's in the Matrix.
Yeah. Yes.
Did we watch this together?
I wrote Goth Teresa.
Can I just say, I am in love with Lindsay Corman in a slick back ponytail and a turtleneck. I will always stand that look and a long black jacket.
Well, and the transfer was really bad on this one. So you couldn't really tell the layers of it or the color mm-hmm. of it even, but it just had such a Matrix look of it. It was very, very
but is
fun.
She supposed to be evil now? Because that's like the vibe I'm picking up is that she's transformed. Like she's like, you know, in Superman 2 when he was bad guy and he had a mm-hmm. beard. Is this a signifier?
It is. I mean, it is because she's now running things at the Grand Mansion. She's
and
like, why is the power out? Turn it back
be
on.
Powerful and also malevolent. Which one's the bad one? Which one's the good one? Benevolent.
Maleficent.
Malevolent is bad.
Okay, so you can't be powerful and benevolent.
That's right. True, and that's a whole tangent going to go down.
Okay, yeah, all right, don't do it. Don't get it.
Don't let
get
Ben
started.
Do that.
Don't get me started.
I'm not going to get you started. But yes, I think to answer your question, and I could be wrong, listeners, please elaborate if you'd like. I think that later she. When we're obviously not on the show, like much later, she does go through a genuinely shitty phase where she's not a good person.
Huh. She gets all craned.
She gets all craned. We're like, you know, right now it's like, but at the heart of the matter, she still just wants to be loved and love Ethan. I think that might go too far. It's like, she steals one of Gwen's embryos or some crazy shit like that. I mean, it happens later when we're.
Well, by this time, Ethan has found out that it came from her computer. not Teresa, but Teresa's computer.
Right.
And also, I believe she had Julian's baby.
Already? No, I think
no,
she's
she
pregnant.
Doesn't have
she's
it, but
pregnant
she's pregnant baby. With Julian's yeah. baby.
Huh.
And Ethan has found out about the email from her computer and that she slept with his ex-dad.
Right. I mean, we complain that not a lot happens, but we're in episode 655. Last episode that we talked about was 520, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
a lot's happened.
A lot's happened.
Yeah, just, yeah. a lot. Ha- but But that's a lot of episodes for, I mean, let's be real. If nothing had happened between that however many hundreds of episodes,
yeah,
that's not okay. That's right. Like almost, that's 200, I can't do math.
So that's like what, like a third of a year, right? I mean, roughly, it's like, you know.
Probably, I mean, yeah.
Maybe.
Something like that, maybe half.
Yeah, okay.
But before we get into the Bermuda at all, so I do want to, funny enough, I you know, read this NBC letter at the top of the pod. There is talk of the Aurora Borealis in this scene. Is there not?
No. No. Strange lights that happen to look like the Aurora
Borealis. So nobody mentions the Aurora Borealis?
No, because...
That's La Brea?
Okay. Yeah.
I was gonna draw a very, very obvious parallel there, but...
You're getting your scripts mixed up.
Getting the scripts mixed up.
Yeah.
Okay.
The strange lights are happening in Harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's happening in...
Wait a minute. I think... Yes. The doctor. Yes. Doctor.
Yes.
Doctor, also like clearly an occult specialist.
Yes.
He knows things.
Yes.
He does mention the Aurora Borealis.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, he does?
Okay. I wrote it there down. I don't think I would have written it down otherwise. There's a connection.
Yeah.
There's a connection there with the other NBC show that I'm associated with.
Yeah. Spoiler.
None of this is spoiler. None of it. Maybe it is.
Maybe
I don't know.
Using that word wrong.
Maybe we should cut some of this stuff. I don't know. But there's that guy, this like sort of one-off who's become a very important, at least important
writing tool.
Tool for the writers to be even lazier. The doctor is in on this mess. So I am going to set this up because it's kind of complicated. So what's happening is Louise and Sheridan are submerged in some sort of body of water. Ben probably thinks it's a swimming pool. I think it's the ocean. Because you never know. You're always like, is it a tank? I don't know.
It's the crane pool. It's their indoor
pool.
Louise is in the crane
pool. Hold on. Yeah. They're submerged in a body of water.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as Louise is concerned, he's in the crane pool. As far as Sheridan is concerned, she's in St. Lisa. In Bermuda. So there's this, I have to say, I think this is super cool. There's this very cool, like, interdimensional play going on where there are people at the crane pool going, what the fuck's going on? There are people in Bermuda going, what the fuck's going on? And then there's Sheridan and Louise who just feel like, you know, this is a very natural thing that we're soulmates and we're together and that's how it always should be. So,
right.
Makes no sense. But guess what, guys? It's the goddamn Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where was his Bermuda accent?
It's Bermuda Triangle
magic.
Yeah,
where was his Bermuda Triangle accent?
He didn't need one because he had like, you know, he had that weird kind of like beard,
right,
bald combo. Head.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you don't need it. I have so much written down here. What's happening? I have written down.
I tried to stick to kind of grasp what he was saying. And then it became so just gibberish that I kind of lost track. I just kept grasping on to the power of the Bermuda Triangle and how the triangle has fried your brain. And oh man, it was just I kept.
Oh, I'm
sorry. Ben's just chomping at the bit. I feel like
no, I'm just laughing at something I read. But
don't share it. We don't want to know.
Don't share. We're on the pod.
Well, I'm going to. I'm going to wait until we get there. Patience.
Okay.
You're going to wait for it. You're going to have to wait for it.
You're going to have to. I got the theme. So I would like to also, don't know why I'm obsessed with this, but apparently I am. I have right here, Lindsay Harley is sick. She has a cold. Why does everyone have to have a cold, as far as I'm concerned? Everybody's always sick and everybody has a cold in real life.
Because, wait, what are you asking?
I remember in last week's pod, I thought I had a cold. And now this week, I think Lindsay has a cold.
Well, because you're noticing voices,
okay.
The voices of the actor. No, we were talking about Charity.
No, it was me.
I talked about Charity then. No. Back in
Never.
No. When the hurricane.
Oh, when she was screaming.
When she was screaming.
Oh, right.
Right.
And Miguel was drowning. And I said, oh man, I remember her getting very sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Travis, time to take your Prevagen, but I take that back.
No, because we...
No, I just take my Mylanta double strength now.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So it's like a haunted or a cursed swimming pool or haunted that takes you to...
You know what it is, guys? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
no,
I'm going to. Do you remember that Twilight Zone episode, younger listeners, look it up, where it's my favorite Twilight Zone episode, It's my favorite one of all time, where there is a little kid, like a 3-year-old little girl, 3 or 4 years old. She falls off her bed and she rolls under the bed and into a different dimension. And they can hear her. It's very Poltergeist. They can hear her, but they can't see her. And they have to somehow get under the bed, somehow get her. It's fucking freaked me. I saw it when I was really young. It freaked me the fuck out, but it's haunted me ever since. And it's a similar kind of thing. Like, one reality is happening in our dimension, and then there's another reality happening in another dimension. But the quote unquote real dimensions can't see, obviously, what's going on in the Sheridan Luis Bermuda Triangle of it all, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's it. That's simple as that. It's not rocket science.
No, I mean, there's some things I don't understand about it, but I don't think we need to understand it to get the gist.
No.
Yeah, it's about the feeling.
Yeah,
and also, Sheridan is never not dead.
Always dead.
Wait.
Well, you guys are saying two different things.
Say the same thing.
Sheridan's always dead to someone.
To someone.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
She's never not dead.
Mainly Luis and Eva.
Yeah, yeah.
Never not dead. Hold on. So that means she's always alive?
She's never. No, she's always dead.
To someone. She's always dead.
So to the people in Harmony think she's dead, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And she's living under the. Now, does she have some sort of amnesia? I'm not clear on this. Like, does she think she's Diana? Yes. Okay.
She thinks she's Diana. She knows she has a dead lover, which is also going to be the Passions for Life drinking game.
Right.
Every time Mackenzie says,
"One will be my dead lover."
Yes, Travis. You. Girl power.
Dead lover.
Wait. Maybe. What am I? These are all such drunk notes.
Your notes are very drunk. Can I ask?
Maybe the doc is.
I want to hear Ben talk.
Okay.
Just stop. You're like reading down a paper. We're just sitting here listening. All go, Ben. Go, Ben.
No, it's just like the Rosetta Stone. I want to see these notes. Can you send them to me? Maybe. Like...
Yeah. I wrote misogynist with a J.
Good. Because that's different than regular misogyny.
Misogynist. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Go on. Let's hear it.
Well, now the thing that I loved about the doctor, again, he not only is a medical doctor, but apparently is some sort of paranormal specialist. And I love, I actually kind of love this line where he says, "The triangle's powers are unfathomable tonight."
Triangle's powers are unfathomable tonight. Dimensions, time, there'll be no barriers. Anything can happen. All levels of consciousness and creation, even the underworld, they'll all have access to one another.
Unfathomable.
Tonight.
Because of the lights that are happening. He's keen.
The Aurora Borealis.
But I also love that he's kind of low-key proposing murder by negligence. Do you remember he's talking to the woman, and he's like, maybe don't go after her?
Right.
Yes. Yeah. I have this written down. Yeah.
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 How he knows that if they stay together,
right,
they'll die.
Well, I think he's like,
but they'll be happy because they'll be together.
Because the woman whose name I'm forgetting, who lives in Bermuda, St. Lisa,
is
in love with Brian, right?
Brian, right. And maybe if Sheridan dies, then
No, not in love with Brian, but they are had a relationship, right?
Which the doctor wants them to rekindle. Because
he's like,
he's like, maybe don't go out there and save Brian.
And she'll,
she'll
die.
Oh, see, he's,
he's not.
No, I picked up on
some malpractice, some possible medical malpractice, but I guess you can't sue in St. Lisa.
No. You know, let her die so you can have Brian.
Exactly. That's what it was. That's
no extradition and no suing.
But Brian's a strong swimmer, as they pointed
out.
He's a strong swimmer. It's fine.
Brian's a strong swimmer. You're a girl, is what I wrote. And that's why maybe he's a misogynist. Okay. It's all coming together.
Well, she says, I'm a better swimmer than he is.
Right. I also wrote that, I know you don't want to hear it, Travis, but I wrote.
It's not true.
Doc's monologue, chef's kiss.
Yeah. The Doc's.
Did he have a great monologue?
Yeah.
Okay. Chef's kiss. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And Doc with his monologues. I'm super into this. It says. So he obviously delivered a couple of, and this is when he was talking about the power of the triangle.
The triangle's powers are unfathomable.
Unfathomable tonight. Yeah. Oh, I also noticed something about Sheridan that's very similar to our friend Travis. She basically just repeats what the last person said.
It's true. What the last person said.
Right.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. It's a true story.
Yeah.
True story.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. This was kind of a cool, I almost wish like the whole show was about exploring this sort of magical connection driven by love and love lost, because that's the only
thing. And not evil.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You can see when they did it really well.
Yeah.
And I think the fans just ate it up.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this is the good stuff.
Yeah. This is the magic I would tune in to watch.
Yeah. It's cool. A
fuck about like who's popping whose cherry in order to let Sumi and Tabby live.
And it's just fun. Like, okay. So what they did with, I don't know. I mean, what they did with Sheridan and Luis, why didn't they do that with Ethan and Teresa, mm-hmm. with Miguel and Charity, with Sam and Ivy? Why didn't they just go all out and like create this, you know, multi-dimensional kind of bizarro love world that and just write that every fucking episode?
Yeah, they could have done like the daytime Buffy, you know,
and that would have been cool. I mean, like, everyone would have had their thing, you know. Julian and Rebecca, I mean, it would have been so much more fun. And I think the fans just would have ate it up.
I think so, too. And I think
it's like, lean into what you're doing.
Travis, I have a question actually for both of you. But if you see someone drowning and you're going to take off clothes to jump in after them, do you stop with the shirt?
Nope.
If you're Hank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm Hank, I take off my shirt.
I take off everything.
And then I'll take off my shoes.
If I'm Hank, I'll take it all off.
You got to take off your pants. That's going to weigh you down. That's what they teach.
Yeah. Yeah. You
don't actually. Mind.
Actually, yeah, because what I learned, and you did. Did you ever do the swimming thing?
You mean swim?
Ben, you know how to swim, right?
Yes, Travis. Well, I went to the YMCA. I had a little paddle kickboard.
Okay.
And that was a year ago. You were there at my graduation.
So what you can do actually with your pants, not that you would do this in a pool, but with your pants, you can tie the ends and make a life vest, like preserver. But yeah, in a pool, I think I just kick off my shoes and jump in because it's a pool.
Right. You can stand.
But yeah, exactly. You can stand. Especially when I'm Hank and I'm like 6'5", 220.
Yeah.
Just pure Adonis.
He's shirt off, Hank.
He's some real juicy meat, that Hank. It's great. Oof.
That's some juicy meat right there.
You can save me from drowning.
He's no
my own wet.
Stop it. Stop it.
For drowning in my own wet.
When he gets out of the pool, he's very moist. He's very glistening.
So glistening.
So last week, we lost the transfer
to be better.
And this week, we've lost the oldies. We've got no one left but us.
Okay.
The transfer, it would have been great to have a clear. It would have been great
to get a better... better view of those abs.
And the nips.
Nips.
Speaking of nips,
yes.
Is it time to talk about the magical date?
No, I do have one more thing to say about Hank, and then yes, we will. It's actually not Hank, it's Luis. And I have a question for you guys. Is Luis Keanu Reeves and Dracula in this episode?
You mean Jonathan Harkness?
I don't know why it's written down, but it is.
I don't see it, but you want to continue to elaborate on why you think
that? No, I was drunk.
She'd have to. She'd have to.
Oh, so it's a real question. It's not a rhetorical
question. It's a real question. Yeah. She's really,
Help me help myself.
Help you.
Help myself understand. Okay, yes, let's go on to the magical date. So yes, this is the juicy meaty bits, areolas and all, where I chose this episode for this reason, but, you know, it's like Passions for Life. You come for the passions, but you stay for Ben Hayes. I chose it for these scenes, but ended up very much enjoying the rest of it so much more than I anticipated.
Yeah.
And the reason I chose it was because, again, it was not unlike the one we did a few weeks ago, where Travis and I finally had an opportunity to try to do something that was natural and that made sense and that was rooted in the real world.
Was a naturalistic scene.
I think we did a decent job. I just remember I remember shooting this scene, which I don't remember shooting a lot. And I remember enjoying my time with it seemed like it took a long time to shoot these scenes for whatever reason. I think there were maybe some technical issues that they were working out. So we ended up spending like the day together, which was nice, but there's just not a lot there.
Was that a compliment?
I mean, you're Well, no, you guys just seem like it almost seemed like watching you two, Travis and Abra, interact.
Old friends.
So it felt very comfortable.
And I think that's what we were going for.
Yeah. See, but again, it sticks out. It doesn't work. It doesn't work in that soap world.
I agree. It didn't feel like it belonged on the show.
It feels low energy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel realistic. The Ethan and Gwen are not recognizable in this scene. Like you said, Ben, it's Travis and Natalie
hanging out. Hamburgers.
And it's kind of like the dialogue get out of the way. And then this is what happened. And, you know, it's kind of funny.
It is we were not playing those characters.
Yeah, we weren't playing those characters. We thought we were playing two people familiar because the dialogue is written like, oh man, you remember college? Mm-hmm. You remember that? You remember Buffy? Mm. I mean, what a D-bag.
Right.
You know, and we played it so natural.
Yeah.
Like even my stumbly, archaic way of talking went away.
Yeah.
I remember working really hard on this. I actually learned my dialogue. Mm-hmm. Unlike with Dawn.
Thanks, babe.
And I really wanted to impress you. Like I wanted this to be fun and I remember it was another one of those moments where I'm like, oh, I'm so excited.
Aww.
Get to act with Natalie.
I know. It was it was something I was looking forward to.
And the music. The music.
Yeah, it's very John Hughes.
It's very distracting.
Yeah, it was very. When you notice it, it's distracting.
It doesn't match. Match what's happening.
Yeah.
Well, especially it was kind of like a real hard cut going from the. I think what preceded it was the heavy Twin Peaksy soapy score of Ivy and Chief Bennett, then to this. Yes. Yeah. I noticed that you're doing what I always advise you to do, which is you're drinking a milkshake.
You always tell me to drink a milkshake.
Yeah.
Maybe this is foreshadowing of our friendship.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
I'm apparently always asking Ben, and I know this is not relatable, listeners. Don't at me about it. But I'm always asking Ben, hey, if one wanted to put on a few pounds, how would one do it? Why do I ask you this?
I don't know.
He's a very fit person. Maybe that's why. So Ben's answer is consistently maybe start drinking milkshakes.
Yes.
No, there's no maybe.
Yeah. Well, I never take the advice.
Yeah.
But you did hear.
I did hear.
That's not true. You do take the advice. You did.
You went back in time.
I went back in time.
Going back in.
Best cheeseburger. About the content. Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about the content of this scene.
Okay.
Ethan is once again talking about goddamn Sheridan. I wrote, fuck your aunt already.
He wants to do her so bad.
I can't. She's dead.
In death.
Yeah. Even in death.
Yeah. I also wrote, hey, Karen.
Yes.
Was there a Karen in the scene?
Yes. She is the most goddamn clueless. did not read the room at all. She's like, oh, hey, Ethan. How's Teresa? I see you're on a date.
Oh,
that was amazing.
Yeah. Like, way to not get a tip.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, awkward. She was the waitress?
Yeah. She was like, hey.
The waitress.
Haven't seen you here with Teresa in a while. And then Ethan really mumbles his way out of that situation. He was like,
I think I'm remembering why it took so long. I think it might have been her.
Oh, it was Karen.
Mm.
Yep.
Karen fucked the scene. Ooh,
guys, I gotta pardon.
My Lance's time.
Are you like Violet Beauregard? Are you like just inflating like a blueberry?
Yeah, basically.
Huh.
Poor thing. All right, I'll take over.
I'm hungry too.
You just chew away.
But,
I'm hungry too. Amy just got
chewing on my Lantus.
Order some pizza soon.
Well, that sounds good.
Let's wrap this shit up then, so we can.
We don't mind our hunger.
No,
just because you can.
Don't mind my gas.
Just because I need a milkshake.
Oh.
sorry.
It's a fit shake.
Can I talk about it? I'm going to have to do this every episode it's just the way it's going to be, guys. I'm
going to
talk about the injustices that the writers do for Gwen.
Boom.
Do it.
So they're having this lovely conversation and talking about familiarity and reminiscing and all these things. And instead of talking about Gwen, let's write a scene about Gwen's friend, Buffy. So you get fucking zero insight about who Gwen was in college. Not one fucking inkling. But you learn a lot about her friend, Buffy. Guys, it's so easy. just take all the Buffy information and switch names.
Well, I do say you never cracked a book.
That is the only piece
and
of
you
information.
Deflect.
I deflect, yeah. Like, oh, why would it be me? I'm not worth
Buffy.
It.
Buffy was worse. Mm-hmm. Remember when she went to the...
Remember that interesting story about Buffy?
Chancellor's office?
Yeah. No one cares about Buffy.
No one gives a fuck about Buffy, except the writers. Writers love Buffy.
Buffy was a trip.
Buffy was a slut.
You know, I saw her drink a bottle of Jaeger once. The whole bottle. All right, saw her.
He's in character now.
Right.
That's McGuane rant.
She grew up with Ross.
Okay. Oh, Jesus. Travis, you're gonna have to retire this bit. You're blowing
it. I just really love that. I know I am. But I just really want to go back to Hank and how he's trying so hard to explain that situation to Teresa. Well, he first talks to Teresa and he's like, I'm no therapist.
No, I'm not.
But
shrink.
Then he does, I'm no shrink. But then he does like a great job.
It's great. He's like, let's connect the dots. Let's be logical here. Yeah.
It was so funny. It was like Hank just became this much more complex character.
I'm obviously
fantastic
very,
body of it.
Very much enjoying Hank.
Would you go see Hank for therapy?
No, ooh. I'd see Hank for something else.
Oh my God.
Is it shirtless?
Deep dicking.
Because he's kind of like, he'd be like your dentist, dick. Natalie.
Travis, yes, he's very much like my dentist. I think I would, no offense to my dentist, but I think Hank is even dreamier than my dentist.
Mm, okay. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen pictures of my dentist, Ben?
No.
You've just heard. I've heard tell.
I've heard tell. Yeah, I've heard a lot about it. I know, because we had the
Ben knows.
The firefighter across the street.
Firefighter across the street.
Yeah, there's always someone.
Always someone.
Really? Is there? Good to know. Glad you brought that up. Travis, there's always someone.
There's always going to be someone.
Oh, okay. Thanks, mm-hmm. Natalie.
Yep.
Well, at least you know.
Yeah. I could just not tell you.
Yeah, I prefer that.
So, Dr. Handsome Dentist.
My dentist is married with three kids happily. So, let's everybody.
Yes, because everyone is always married with three kids happily.
Okay. Travis needs to take a bit of a time out.
I got gas. I got gas. I'm in a bad mood.
Yeah, you know what's really funny is that the more interesting and creative and engaging the episodes are, the less really there is to talk about, because so much of what we do is nitpicking and tearing it apart. And
right, So that's what I was kind of getting at the beginning when I was like, I don't have a ton of stuff because I was engrossed in the episode and I wasn't paying attention to all the missteps.
Well, then I think our job here is maybe done. Very satisfied.
That's right. We've done a good job of analyzing and talking about this one.
Wow, we're patting ourselves on the back already, guys.
Hasn't even been edited.
What are we at, in the 20s?
Yeah, good job. There,
season Tom. 2, nailed it.
I have my theme. I have my theme ready to go.
I got a couple. All right.
Go ahead, guys.
My theme is Wait For It.
Wait For It. Oh. Nice. Nice. Travis?
I got a really long one.
Excuse me?
Yeah,
and
do.
Now I'm going to tell you my theme.
Oh,
boom.
Oh, my God.
I was with my dead lover. The Power of the Triangle. Oh. I'm going to go with lost her once, shame on me. Lost her twice, shame on you. Lost her once more. Okay, that's on me. Lost her again. Oops, must be Sheridan.
fair thing.
All right.
My theme is I have crossed oceans of time because I was thinking about the Dracula thing. And that's what's happening with Luis and Sheridan. Crossing oceans of time and space to be together.
Maybe I was onto something.
Maybe you were. You joggled, as Charles likes to say, you joggled my math. Yeah.
I joggled.
Joggled my memories.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Housekeeping.
Solid app, guys. Housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
You guys know I don't do this.
Ben, don't forget to mention the supplementary.
Supplemental.
Supplementary.
Supplemental.
The supple.
What is it with us?
I don't know.
I'm stroking.
Okay. All right. Well, you can go to Apple Podcasts and rate and review us. Please give us 5 stars. Say something nice. Say something, give a shout out. And if you go there, there's a link and you can find the supplemental video that helps you play along at home if you want to watch the episodes with us.
Yeah, and in the middle of the week, we do listener emails. So send us your comments, your questions at emailpassions@gmail.com. You can follow us along on Instagram, @passionsforlifepod.
And then Twitter is @passions4.
There you go.
Anybody still on Twitter? Is anybody on Twitter anymore?
Oh, yeah. Everyone is. The whole world.
The world. Okay, great.
Well, except for one.
There's one who's not. Guys, take care of yourselves, as always, and take care of each other, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Adieu.
Bye.
Adieu.